Greetings, friends. Do you believe that once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that your salvation is guaranteed no matter what? Well, lots of people believe that. And this is a false doctrine. It's been taught by lots of false prophets. Traditional Christianity preaches this false gospel that I call once saved, always saved. That is not biblical. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, because this is the letter to the church in Ephesus, and as we've been discussing, these seven letters to the seven churches, the first one being to the church at Ephesus, these are Jesus Christ's instructions to his church. It's an evaluation of how we are doing. And the last point we're coming to as it regards to the church at Ephesus is the challenge that he gives them. Yeshua gives them the challenge that they have to overcome, and that's a key word. They have to overcome, and once they have overcome, they will be blessed. So let's read that. It's in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Yeshua is saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He is saying, pay attention. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen to what your false prophets are telling you. Listen to the Word of God. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So what does this word overcome means? Well, first let me tell you how this false gospel of once saved, always saved goes. It goes something like this. Once you repent of your sins and accept Jesus as your Savior, you have salvation, and it can never be forfeited no matter what you do. This false gospel is taught as a reaction against another false gospel that teaches you can have salvation by works. They're both false gospels. You cannot have salvation by works, but also it's not true that once you're saved, you're always saved no matter what. Now, while it is true that salvation is a free gift from God that we receive by faith, and that's called grace, it cannot be earned in any way. That's called works. If we could earn it, it would be called salvation by works. We cannot earn it in any way through our works. While all of that is true, it is also true that a person can decide to throw God's grace in God's face. And that's called the unpardonable sin. An overcomer is one who repents of their sins, accepts God's gift of salvation by faith, and then continues to walk by faith. I didn't say walk by works, so please don't prejudge what I'm saying. Please listen. So the person who's an overcomer is one who repents of their sins, accepts God's gift of salvation by faith, and continues, that's a key word, and continues to walk by faith until the day they die. So, undoubtedly, it is about faith. But my question to you is this: does faith exclude works? The question again is, does faith exclude works? What is God's answer to that question? Let's turn over to James, the second chapter, and we'll read verses 14 through 26. This is the book of James in chapter 2 and verses 14 through 26. Here God says, "What good does it do, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but does not have any works?" And I put this in big, bold, capital letters. This kind of faith cannot save him. This kind of faith cannot save him. That's what it says in James chapter 2 and verse 14. This is from the Word of God. I'm going to read this again. What good does it do, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? This kind of faith cannot save him. So what kind of faith can save a person? Suppose a brother or sister does not have any clothes or anything to eat, and one of you tells him, "Go in peace, stay warm, eat and be filled." What good is that? If you do not provide for their bodily needs, what good does it do? In the same way, faith by itself, if it does not have works, that faith is dead. That's a dead faith. That's no good. That kind of faith is not going to save you. Now someone in response, this is in verse 18, someone in response is going to say, well, I have faith. And then God says, well, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without any works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? That's great. Okay, that's a great thing that you believe that there's one God. But you know what? Even the demons believe that there's one God. And not only do they believe that there's one God, they tremble with fear. So just by saying that you accept Jesus Christ by faith, that you believe that there's one God, so what? Even the demons believe that there's one God. They know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's no big deal. They fear and tremble before Jesus Christ because they know that he's God. So that's no big deal. So God is going on to say in verse 20, do you want proof, you foolish person, that faith without works is worthless? Well, I'm going to give you an example. Abraham was justified by works. Now that blows some people's mind that that's in the scripture. And you don't hear people preaching about that because they teach this false gospel, this false doctrine of once saved, always saved. But God has given this example of Abraham, and he says in James chapter 2, verse 21, Abraham was justified by works. Now, what was the works that Abraham did? He offered his son Isaac on the altar. That proved that he had faith. You see, that Abraham's faith was active with his works, and by his works, faith was made complete. That's the kind of faith that's going to save a person, is when they are an overcomer. That means they continue to do what God says to do. They have works out of their faith. They say that they have a relationship with God, that they have repented of sinning, and sinning means going contrary, doing works contrary to God's law. So when they repent, what they're saying is, I will no longer do works contrary to your law. Now I will do works in accordance with your law. That proves that I have faith, that God, I believe that you have forgiven me of my sins and that you expect me to live a certain way. That proves that I love your way of life because I'm going to live your way of life. And God's way of life is the way of love. And God's commandments teach us his definition of love. The first four show us how to love God. And the last six show us how to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that is when we keep the law, not only in the letter, but also in the spirit of the law, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the spirit of love. So it all fits together. And now to continue here in verse 24, God is saying through James, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Now let's read in Hebrews chapter 10, and this is verses 23 through 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23 through 39. Again, this will blow your mind because you've probably not heard this in your church service, because your minister is teaching you this false gospel of once saved, always saved. So they don't like to read the scripture. But notice what it says. Paul is speaking here under the inspiration of God. Let us continue. Remember that word that we saw in James? Well, the same word here. Continue. Let us continue to hold firmly to the hope that we confess without wavering, for the one who made the promise is faithful. And let us continue, that's that word again, let us continue to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. This is something we need to pay attention to. We should not be neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some is, but we should be meeting together all the more often and encouraging one another as we see the day of Christ's second coming coming nearer. Now listen to this. This is verse 26. For if we choose to continue, that's that word again, but this is the opposite way here. We are talking about we need to continue to hold firmly to the hope that we confess. That's in verse 23. And then in verse 24, we need to continue to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But now the opposite is here in verse 26. This is the negative. For if we choose to continue sinning after we have received the full knowledge of the truth. So this is God talking to converted people, people who have received Jesus Christ by faith, but now they are choosing to continue to sin after they have received the full knowledge of the truth. For people like that, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but only a terrifying prospect of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who violates the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severe a punishment do you think that this person deserves who tramples on God's Son and treats as common the blood of the covenant, the same blood that covered the person when they repented of their sins? Their sins were wiped away by the blood of the covenant that Jesus Christ shed for the remission of our sins. But if a person, after they have repented and received Jesus Christ, if they now turn back to sin and continue to walk in a sinful way of life, they're bringing judgment on themselves because there is no more sacrifice for sins. That's the best God could offer, was his perfect Son, the blood of his Son. And if we trample on the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we insult the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit that's been given to us, that transforms us, that creates in us a new person, if we trample upon that and insult the Spirit of grace, then there remains no more sacrifice for sins. And God is saying that it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now he goes back to the positive. He says, but you must continue. That's right, you must continue to remember those earlier days, how after you were enlightened, that's right, after you repented, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard and painful struggle. So do not throw away your confidence, since it holds great reward for you. For you need endurance. You need to be an overcomer. And to be an overcomer, you need endurance to continue to do the right things for the right reasons until the day you die, so that after you have done God's will, you can receive what he has promised. And we receive what God has promised ultimately when we are resurrected from the dead. That's when we have eternal life. And before that time, we can lose our salvation if we throw away God's grace, if we throw it in his face by continuing to sin. And so Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 2 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, who continues to walk in God's way, not only by just believing that Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins, but continuing to do the good works of God to prove our faith, to that person I will give to eat of the tree of life. In other words, I'm going to give them eternal life. And this tree of life is in the midst of the paradise of God. And that's where we want to be. Well, hopefully you'll want to be with me on the next program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.